If you have your Bibles, turn with us to Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9. I want to finish up this chapter tonight. And don't know where we'll go after this. Whether the Lord will want us to continue on into the next chapters, but I did feel impressed that I ought to finish these verses in chapter 9. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago or so that these verses at the end are some of the most difficult verses in Jesus' teaching. There are times that Jesus taught things that were not easy to understand. And on the surface, these look rather difficult themselves. And so tonight I want us to try to get an understanding of what Jesus was teaching and talking about. I'm going to skip reading the text to begin with, and then I'll read it as I go. But in Mark chapter 9, just kindly a refresher, Jesus has been teaching the disciples. This whole section began back in verse 30, and it talks about how that Jesus, as they were passing through Galilee, says, for he taught his disciples, that lays the foundation of all that was to come in the rest of the chapter. So Jesus has been teaching the disciples. I titled this section, The Training of the 12. That Jesus has taught them a couple of things already. He taught them, first of all, about true greatness. They were arguing among themselves about who was the greatest among them. And Jesus taught them about what true greatness really, really was. And then the last time that we looked in the chapter, Jesus began to teach them and talk to them about truth giving, of what giving really, really is. That it isn't the size of the gift, but it has to do with the heart and how you give into the Lord faithfully. So Jesus ended that section talking about the thinking. I want to read verse 42, and then we'll get into what I'm looking at tonight. Jesus said, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his heck. And they were cast into the sea. So Jesus was talking about offending. I dealt with it at the end of last time. How that Jesus was trying to warn the disciples not to cast a stumbling block in anyone's way. Though John had admitted to Jesus about forbidding the man that was casting out an evil spirit in Jesus' name. Jesus said, if he is not against us, he's for us. Don't forbid someone like that. But also, he says, little ones, talking about his children. So Jesus is talking about not causing a stumbling block or offense to any of his children. But he changes the subject somewhat, building on that thought. Then he begins to teach the disciples about true holiness. He begins to say some things that are really astounding. Notice what he says in verse 43. He says, and whosoever, or excuse me, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. He says it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm tieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm tieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better to enter for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire where their worm tieth not and the fire is not quenched. Now that is unusual. That is strange, to say the least, for Jesus to talk about, if your hand offends you, cut it off. If your foot, then cut it off. Or if your eye offends you, to pluck it out. So Jesus is trying to teach the disciples something about true holiness. So I want us to grasp and understand what he means. I believe that There are two applications. I believe that what Jesus says can apply to sinners, but also to saints. So just bear with me and we'll try to understand that. Jesus is trying to emphasize to the disciples just how shameful and horrible and serious sin really is. And he is saying that we ought to be so determined to deal with sin in our life that we don't let anything stand in our way of dealing with it. So I want us to grasp what Jesus is saying. Jesus is using what is called hyperbole. Hyperbole is a type of speech which is an overstatement. It is an intentional exaggeration to make a point. I'll give you a couple of examples that you're probably familiar with. Sometimes somebody will say, "I'm so hungry, I could eat a horse." Now, they're not really saying that they're going to eat a horse. That is an over-exaggeration, describing how hungry they are. Sometimes we'll say something like this: "Man, it's raining cats and dogs." Now, it isn't literally raining cats and dogs, but by saying that, we're over-exaggerating about how hard it is to raining outside. So that is what Jesus is using in the text. So in other words, Jesus isn't literally saying that you need to cut off your hand, cut off your foot, or pluck out your eye. Jesus is giving an over-exaggeration to prove his point. So what is he saying? Jesus is saying that we ought to take sin seriously. So seriously that we're willing to confront it in our lives. So first of all, he is talking about the confrontation of sin. When Jesus says in verse 43 that if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. So what is he getting at? Jesus is talking about things that we do with our hands. He's talking about our actions that we do. So it is saying to our life that we are to search our lives, search our hearts, if there is anything that we're doing that stands between us and God, we need to cut it off. Stop doing it. Give it up. Lay it down. So we ask the question, if there is something that we're doing that's what's there to us, or something that we're doing that can lead us into sin, or would hinder us, or someone else, Jesus is saying, stop it. Cut it off out of your life. Then he says the same thing about the foot. If your foot offends you, cut it off. So if the hand has to do with what we do, the foot has to do with where we go. So Jesus is saying, search your heart. Is there anywhere that you're going that you ought not go? And if there is, cut it off. Cut it out of your life. Lest it be a problem in your life. I remember years ago, I was talking to a young lady. As a matter of fact, it was when I was here the first time. And her mom had asked me, said, "Preacher, will you talk to my daughter about this certain place that she's going to?" And I said, "I will." So the Lord opened the opportunity and I mentioned it. She said, "Well, it was a bar and a dance hall." And she said, "But preacher, I don't go there to drink. I just go to hang out with my friends." She said, "That's the only reason I go." But I said, "That's not the kind of place that you ought to be." And she tried again to justify it. And so I asked her, I said, "So, what would you think if the next time you're there, I show up and just sit down with you?" She said, "Oh no, preacher, that's not the kind of place that you ought to be." I said, "If it's wrong for me, it's wrong for you." And she said, "Well, I guess you're right." I want to tell you, sometimes we put ourselves in places that we ought not be. And it might tempt us to sin. invite enter somebody else that sees us in that place. Jesus said, cut it off. But then he mentions the eye. If your eye is injured, pluck it out. So if the hand or things we do, feet are the places we go, the eye are things we see or look at or desire. Jesus said, what about the things that you're looking at? Sometimes we get our eyes on things that draw us away from God. I wonder tonight how many people got away from God, and it all started with a look. I remember Achan in the Bible, in the book of Joshua, when Joshua confronted Achan. Achan said, when I saw the goodly Babylonish garment, the wedge of silver, the shekel of gold, I took it and hid it in my tent. Jesus said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If you're looking at things that are tempting you away from God, cut it off. Stop it. Pluck it out. The idea is that God takes sin this seriously. And so should we. So he's talking about the confrontation of sin, but also the eradication of it, which I've already been saying something about. Jesus says to guard what you do, guard where you go, guard what you look at, because sin will ruin your life. Sin is likened in the Bible to leprosy. Sin is described like fire or a wild animal in the Bible. The Bible is saying that sin will destroy you if you mess with it, if you look at it too long, if you put your hand to it or go in that direction, sin will destroy your life. I wonder tonight how many young people have lost their purity because they thought they could handle the temptation. I wonder tonight how many men or women have lost their home and their family because they thought it only was a little flirtation. I wonder tonight how many Christians have lost their influence and their testimony because they didn't say no and cut some things out of their life and their heart. Jesus is saying, cut it off. Pluck it out. Get rid of it. Because for the Christian, it ruined your life. But I said there's a message to sinners here as well. Because in all three instances, Jesus is saying, it'd be better to enter into life for the kingdom of God, halt or lame, or with only one eye, than to be cast into the hell where the worm dieth not, and fire is not quenched. The word that Jesus uses here is the Greek word Gehenna. Gehenna was in the valley of Hinnom on the south side of Jerusalem. In the days of the kings, they had set up a Canaanite god called Molech. And Molech was an idol that had the body of a man and the head of a demon or an animal, a wild animal. And we find that people in that day would come at the belly of Moloch was an open cavity. They would build a fire in it. The moms and dads would come, offer their children as a sacrifice in the fire to Moloch. When Joash became king, he destroyed the idol and stopped its worship. And they turned that place into the refuse center of Jerusalem, the garbage dump. That's where they cast all their garbage when criminals were killed. They would take their bodies, toss them into that valley. Then they would set it on fire. They said that the fires burn constantly, then the skin worms were gnawing at the decaying flesh. That's the place that Jesus was calling Gehenna. He was saying, that's what hell is like. A place of fire. A place of torment. Where the worm dieth not, yet the fire is not quenched. isn't a popular subject in our day. People don't want to hear about hell. We have become too modern and too sophisticated to believe in hell. But hell is real. And Jesus is saying, I don't know what sins that they have you on your hands here. Don't know what sin you may be walking in. Don't know what ungodliness someone may be looking at. But Jesus is saying, there is not a thing you do, the place you go, or anything that you see in this life that's worth missing heaven over. I want to tell you, 5 seconds in hell, I guarantee you, every individual there would say, if I could only turn back, I quit my drinking, I quit my running around, I quit my carousing, I give up drugs, I lay it all down, I cut it all out of my life just to miss this awful place. That's the message Jesus gives to sinners. I want to tell you, sin isn't worth it. It isn't worth it at all. The pleasure of sin is only a season, but hell is forever and ever. That brings us to the last couple of verses. Jesus says something here about sacrifice. He says, for everyone shall be salted with salt, or everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Back in the book of Leviticus, God told the children of Israel that when they came and offered sacrifice, to offer it with salt. Don't be alarmed, I bleed just a little bit. I'm trying to tap and have a place on my lip. But he was saying to salt the sacrifice and use salt on all of their sacrifices. That being they were consecrated to God, given totally and wholly unto the Lord. So Jesus is saying to the disciples, there ought not be any area of your life that you're not willing to sacrifice for me. Oh, not be anything that would stand in your way, but you'd be willing to lay it down to be the salt that I want you to be. And he says salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltness, wherewith will you season it? Jesus said, You are salt. But if you lose that saltiness in your life, where can you season it to make it salty again? You can't. So he says, have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Jesus says, be salt among yourselves. Be salt in this world. Jesus is saying, make a difference. Don't be a hindrance. Don't be an obstacle. Don't be a stumbling block. But be a help to everybody in need in life. And then it seems that he's addressing them arguing among themselves again. He says, and have peace one with another. Why would he say that? Because he knows they're going to need each other. They're going to face suffering, sacrifice, hard and difficult days. So he says, be at peace with one another. That's a good challenge to end on. I want to tell you, there will not be place in our life that we argue and fuss and grumble and complain about each other. But we ought to strive to be in peace with one another. Because we need each other in this life. That gets us through chapter 9. Like I said, I don't know. I don't know where we'll go from there. Possibly the Lord will take us on into chapter 10. I've been glancing at it, but I'll just have to follow His leadership and His guidance. But I appreciate you being in the house of the Lord tonight. Thank you for coming to be a part of the service. Hope something was a help to your life. Let's stand to our